Thank you for tuning into the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope, a United Methodist community. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We serve the Elgin, Illinois area and are located at the corner of Randall Road and Highland. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, here is this week's message.
Our first scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 39. Safe. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had left the Sadducees, speechless, they met together. One of them, a legal expert, tested him. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" He replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself." And from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing children to Jesus so he could bless them. But the disciples scolded him. When Jesus saw this, he grew angry and said to them, "Allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children. I assure you that whoever doesn't welcome God's kingdom like a child will never enter it." Then he hugged the children and blessed them. May God bless both the reading and hearing of his word. Thank you, Lord, for your life-giving word.
The message that I have for you this morning is why Christianity is important to me. And I should explain that I'm from the generation that we call traditionalists. Okay, Pastor Jared has been in the past talked about each of the generations. And so I should warn you that everything I'm telling you this morning is coming from the perspective of a traditionalist. Okay, so what does that mean? I was born in the year 1942. I was a World War II baby. And I'll tell you more, but I've found that from my experience as a former teacher, high school teacher, I found that to get my students' attention, it was best if I had a story. Okay, so I'm going to share a story or maybe two with you. So, a Sunday school teacher asked her children as they were on their way to church services, "And why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" One bright little girl said, "Because people are sleeping." Okay, wake up all of those of you who are sleeping out here. Also, a mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin, age 5, and her son, Ryan, age 3. The boys began to argue over who would get that first pancake. Their mother saw an opportunity to teach a moral lesson. She said, "If Jesus were sitting right here, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, "You be Jesus." Okay, now that I have your attention, I'll present my topic. A little bit of background. Okay, you know I was born in 1942. Where? In Moorhead, Minnesota. Gary, where is Moorhead, Minnesota? Far western boundary of Minnesota, kind of midway. The Red River of the North separates Fargo, North Dakota from Moorhead, Minnesota. A lot of people know where Fargo is, maybe because of that dumb movie. Okay, so now you know where I was born and raised. It was a railroad center. We actually had three railroads that ran through the town. But the thing that drove our economy was agriculture. Morehead was surrounded by sugar beet fields and potato fields. And a lot of my friends at school helped their parents in the raising of potatoes and sugar beets. Okay, now that you have that background, I'm going to give my first point involving why is Christianity important to me. Okay, that first point is this. Christianity is user-friendly. One of those computer terms, right? Christianity is user-friendly. As far back as I can remember, I attended Sunday school in Morehead, Minnesota. It was a small Methodist church, Grace United Methodist Church. I lived only 2.5 blocks away from that church. And I would like to share some things that happened in Sunday school. Every Sunday we would meet in a group like this, usually in fellowship hall. At age 5, I was one of those youngsters that sat in the front row so we could see what was going on. And the thing that sticks in my mind most was we sang songs in Sunday school. Nancy Gardner would probably remember this one from Ivy Grove, Iowa. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We'd hold up that imaginary candle with our thumb and our forefinger, and that became a very beloved song to me. And the end of the opening ceremony, as it was, we would always march out to the piano banging out, and Glenn Peterson, you know this one, "Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus." And there I pause. As a 5-year-old, I could not figure out why we're going to war with a cross. Didn't it make more sense to carry a spear or a sword? Oh, my. Okay, bear with me now, and we'll step back to the year 1947. I was almost 5 years old. We're in Morehead, Minnesota, and it's Sunday morning, much like this. The sun was shining, and up in Minnesota, it gets a little bit cool in the morning. My mother had properly prepared me for Sunday school. You know, the shower, shampoo, and shave. Well, maybe I didn't get shaved, but I was clean. And then she provided me with my Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Just as I was about to step out the door, she grabbed me and said, "Gary, wait, wait, wait. Well, what for, Mom?" "You have to have your offering." Well, in those days, apparently, a nickel was a tithe to a 5-year-old. So Mom searched through our little apartment, could not find a nickel, but she did find 5 shiny pennies. She entrusted them to me and gave me the instructions, "When that offering plate comes around, you put those pennies in it." "Yes, Mom," and out the door I went. Okay, so we had our opening ceremonies, and we marched to our classroom to Onward Christian Soldiers, and we had a story every week, something like Jonah and the Whale. That was kind of cool. That was even better than Pinocchio in my eyes. The story was over. The offering plate came around. And I pull out my 5 pennies. I dribble them into the offering plate, and my Sunday school teacher asked me, "Gary, is it your birthday?" And I think about it a little bit, and I said, "Oh, yeah, it's my birthday." It wasn't. It wasn't. Okay, now let me explain why she asked me that. Because when you had a birthday, they would bring out a porcelain birthday cake with a slot in the center, and you would deposit your pennies into that slot, 1 for each year of life. Then 1 candle for each year of life went on the cake, they lit them up, And marvelously, all these kids would sing Happy Birthday. Oh boy, life was good. Right up until that doggone Gary Ellis blew the whistle. His birthday isn't until the month of May. Well, the Sunday school teacher had the good sense to just let it lay, okay? But word got around the church, and soon my mother came hustling after me, cornered me in the hallway, and gave me the lecture on, you must tell the truth. It was embarrassing. But looking back at it, you know what? I think the whole thing was worth it. Because remember, Christianity is user-friendly. Okay. My second point on why Christianity is important to me is I have value as a Christian. I'll repeat that. I have value as a Christian. And again, a little story from Moorhead, Minnesota. Okay, the year is 1948. It's a year later. I'm all of 6 years old. 6 year red-blooded American boy has needs. One of those needs was you got to have a dime to go to the movie. In those days, we did not have television. We didn't get television until 1954. Okay, so no television. You go to the movie to see Roy Rogers or one of those shoot 'em up cowboy heroes. And being a growing boy, I had a need for candy, especially chocolate. Okay, so not having a job, I didn't have money coming in. So what do? You go to your parents. Dad, could I have a nickel? Please. What do you need it for? Well, all the kids in the neighborhood are going to the store to buy candy. Once in a while, I would get my nickel. More often than not, I got this pithy saying, Gary, money doesn't grow on trees. Well, at that age, I really didn't fully understand what he was telling me. At my age now, I fully understand that he and Mom had come through World War I, especially the Great Depression, living in a rural environment. There just wasn't any money around. So he was trying to teach me a lesson. However, remember, I'm 6 years old, not very experienced. To me, what he was telling me was, Gary, money is important. Children are not. Money is important. Children are not. Now, if I were to end my story there, gal, that would be depressing. So let me go on. Fortunately, remember, we've got Sunday school, Grace Methodist Church in Moorhead, Minnesota. And we would go in every Sunday. We would sing this song, and I'm sure, again, people like Mary Summers out there in Springfield, Illinois, would sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, that spoke to me. Why? Well, we were taught that Jesus was the most important person that ever lived. And if that most important person that ever lived loved me, I must have value. I'm just a little kid, but I must have value. And the story goes on, because at that time we had a Sunday school superintendent by the name of Will Offit. He was a potato farmer. He was a grandfather to a number of my classmates. He was older, stood tall, and had silvery white hair. To me, he was the Moses of Grace Methodist Church. And here's what Moses would say. Each of you children is worth $1 million. Wow! I'm worth $1 million! Now, here was a man, Will Offit, fully understood that scripture this morning that said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Thank you for that, Don. My point number three. The church has provided me with rules to live by. Okay, think about that. Again, back in Ivy Grove, Iowa, I'm sure they sang the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand at the door of the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Okay, so the Bible, here's this thick book. I received one in third grade, following the completion of third grade. Each of us received a Bible. And I should have had it this morning. I apologize for that. It is in my car. Okay, but there's a lot of stuff in that Bible. What in particular do we follow in terms of what principles within it guide our lives? And I think way back, even when I was 6 or 7 years old, I would say the Ten Commandments. Okay, but again, I would refer to the scriptures this morning. When the Pharisees asked Jesus, which of the commandments is the most important commandment? His answer was, there are two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And love thy neighbor as thyself. And love thy neighbor as thyself. You can go a long way in life if you can follow those two principles. You can go a long way. But it doesn't stop there, because in eighth grade, this would be 1955, yeah, back in Moorhead, Minnesota, I had to attend confirmation class, or as a lot of people called it, Saturday school. And one of the requirements that we had of Saturday school, confirmation, was to memorize the Apostles' Creed. Do you guys remember that? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. On the third day he arose from the dead and rose into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And there I pause. It is the resurrection that unites all of us as Christians. It is the resurrection that unites us in a belief. And on Easter morning, we sing, up from the grave he arose, don't we? Because of our belief in the resurrection. Okay, point number four this morning. Keith, I've got 4 points. You insist on three. I've got a fourth one. And my fourth point is this. To me, Christianity, the church, provides me with sanctuary. Okay, now I got written down a Webster definition for this, but I probably won't be able to find it here. So what I will do is paraphrase what it is. And it may refer to a building such as Journey of Hope. More often, it refers to an altar area within a church. But I'm going to refer to another definition, is it's a place of refuge or comfort. I'm going to repeat that. A sanctuary is a place of refuge or comfort. Back to Moorhead, Minnesota. But I'm jumping up to the year 1959. It's the spring of the year, I believe April. But before I do that, I have to say this, an introduction. In the Newton household, back in Moorhead, Minnesota, in the Newton household at supper time, or do you call it dinner? At supper time or dinner, the problems of the family would be discussed. And unfortunately, I was the eldest of three kids, and so very often the questions were directed to me, such as, Gary, did you know that a baseball flew through the bathroom window of our neighbors? Yeah, Mom. Gary, did you realize that the Moorhead Police Department caught some young kids on top of Riverside Elementary School running around? Yes, Mom. Gary, your father and I have been looking at your report card, and we're really puzzled by something. How can you earn an A in English and only a C+ in physics? Mom, it's complicated. As far as I can recall, there were only two subjects that we didn't talk about at the Newton supper table. One was sex. Now I've got your attention. And the second thing was death. And it's the second topic that I'd like to make reference to. Okay, 1959, spring of the year, I think April. A tragedy occurred on the south side of Moorhead, Minnesota. Something that never happened did. A 17-year-old boy took his life. Suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning. I'm telling you, it rocked our community of 15,000 people. And it especially rocked me as a resident on the south side, living only a half mile away from this young man. As it happens, our school, Moorhead High School, declared the opportunity for any of us who wish to attend a memorial service during a school day in the morning. I chose to do that. Now, I was one class behind this young man. He was graduating class of 1959. I was one of those worthy 1960 future graduates. The memorial service was held at the largest church in Moorhead. Happened to be a Lutheran church. Does that surprise you? Minnesota? Trinity Lutheran Church. Big, big, big sanctuary. And as I think back, I remember sitting in the pew, and none of the words that were coming from the pulpit were sinking into my mind, because I was bombarded with the question, why? Why? Why would a young man in the height of health choose to take his own life? Why would a young man just about graduated from high school, ready to step into college where we're said are the best years of our life, why would he take his own life? Why? In days that followed that memorial service, I could not get a successful answer from any adult or any of my classmates. And I asked the question often. So how did I deal with this? I found a sanctuary, Grace Methodist Church. I would find a quiet area by myself and meditate. Now, I would like to tell you that I came up with an answer to the why. I did not come up with an answer to the why. But I did feel comfort in the sanctuary of Grace Methodist Church. Now, to review, I made 4 points. The church, Christianity to me, user-friendly. The church, Christianity to me, is a place where I have value. The church, to me, was a place that provided me with principles for living life, as found in the Holy Bible and the Apostles' Creed. And point number 4, the church, Christianity, provides me with sanctuary. Now, at this time, Roy Seiler is probably saying, Gary, there's probably a football game on. Can't you cut this thing off? And I will, okay? However, I'm going to issue a challenge to you and you and you and you. That challenge is between now and next Sunday, I would like you to come up with your own personal list of why Christianity is important to you. Amen. Now for a benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.